It is a special, fantastical afternoon version of America's Most Haunted, and we welcome Aaron Sagers. I'm Eric Olson, and with me is Teresa Argy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me today.
Our pleasure, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. For those of you who don't know, Aaron Sagers is an author, journalist, raconteur, NYU professor, proprietor of Paranormal Pop Culture, which is a fantastic site, by the way, and most recently host and co-executive producer of Paranormal Paparazzi on the Travel Channel. Welcome, Aaron.
Hey, Eric, how are you today?
Very well, other than the slightly nasal aspect of a lingering cold. But beyond that, I am wondrous, and how are you?
I'm great. I do feel for you as far as the cold goes, because we are like in the midst of cold season now. We're hitting it, and it makes me a little nervous, especially as a teacher. I'm around a lot of like students that are always bringing germs into class.
Well, I can certainly relate to that, because I still have two younger kids, and they come home with every manner of nonsense, and then, you know, I kind of hold them at arm's length, and, don't sneeze on me, you're gross. Yeah, put your mask back on, even when you're eating, and yet still, you know, now and then, I do pick something up, and it annoys me. Aaron, why don't you give us a little bit of info, just for those who haven't seen it yet? It's still a relatively new show. We're talking Paranormal Paparazzi, 7 o'clock on Fridays on Travel Channel. Why don't you give people just a little bit of a rundown about the show and maybe a super quick version of how you got involved and where things are going?
Yeah, certainly. Well, Paranormal Paparazzi is an entertainment news show that covers all components of the paranormal and horror world as well. So we got ghosts, we got aliens, we got Bigfoot, we got zombies, one of my favorite topics. And we also have celebrities, which are sometimes the most unexplained group out there. And so we send a group of reporters. I'm sort of like the editor-in-chief. We send a group of reporters from our Paranormal Paparazzi newsroom to scour the country and just seek out these stories. So we're not really a ghost hunting show. Guys like Zach Bagans does that very well, and he's an executive producer on our show. I saw Amy Bruni was on a previous show. Love Amy. She does what she does very well. We're not trying to do that. Instead, we're just going out there and covering the stories, saying, like, you know, if you've had an experience, tell us about it. Or if you think you have a theory about the paranormal or horror world, tell us about it. So instead of, like, paranormal investigators, we're more like investigative journalists. Insofar as how I got into it, well, as you noted, I run ParanormalPopCulture.com, and for a long time before ParanormalPopCulture.com, I was a mainstream journalist. I still am a mainstream journalist. I contribute to CNN.com's Geek Out section, especially, fairly regularly. So I write about everything, but I've always loved the paranormal in particular. And I guess about a year ago now, Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures reached out to me, and he was trying to put together a new project. And, you know, Zach knows his investigative style and knows the paranormal and knows how to get a good TV show off the ground. And I know journalism, and I know what makes a good story, and I know the horror and supernatural worlds. And, you know, together we just sort of collaborated and got this thing rolling. Travel picked it up. And, yeah, so it's an exciting, fast-paced show. And even though Zach's not on camera, you see very much, you know, his energy is there, and my dedication to stories is there. And, that is sort of the thumbnail sketch of Paranormal Paparazzi.
Teresa, why don't you jump in here?
All right. Well, Aaron, I remember you from Paranormal Challenge. Obviously, I was a contestant on the Waverly Hills episode. Of course, you were not our judges, but I was so excited to hear about this new project with you and one of my favorite people in the paranormal, Joshua P. Warren. And then, of course, you've got Scotty Grunewald, another fellow investigator that we've known from Paranormal Challenge. So I was really looking forward to seeing this new project. And it's nice to see a new spin. It's nice to see something different than just another ghost hunting show because, I mean, how many times can you play that out? It just, you know, you got to try something new. I think that your approach is interesting. I wish you were actually in the field, though. I think it would be nice for you to get out there and actually cover some stories. Are we going to be able to see that in any upcoming episodes?
Well, really, the concept for this is that, like, I've been there and I've done that. Like, I've been out there quite a bit for regular stories and for paranormal stories. So this is really the time to have the other reporters kind of prove to me what they can dig up and then have a discussion about what they bring to the table. You know, I'm certainly involved behind the scenes on all of these stories and deciding, you know, being part of the decision-making process for what we cover or not. And then obviously when we have like interviews in the newsroom or via Skype, you know, I'm handling those. But, you know, for this first round, I really think it's important to have the reporters out there covering it and then coming back to me. But certainly, you know, I think if we are fortunate enough to get a second season, yeah, you know what, I think I might be the one that goes out and hits the zombie apocalypse gets my hand a little bit dirty again. Because, you know what, I guess I've got to show that, you know, amongst the other reporters, I can still kick a little butt myself.
Have you ever been on a paranormal investigation, or have you always just kind of covered it from the journalist's point of view?
No, actually, I'm a very experiential type of journalist. I think sometimes the best way to tell a story is to put yourself in the midst of it, and that's really something we try to do with Paranormal Paparazzi, you know, that if you're going to go talk about a new method from a ghost hunting group or a Bigfoot hunting group, you know, sometimes the best way to tell that story is to be there while it's happening. So, yeah, I've been on a lot of paranormal investigations. I have investigated with the ghost hunters, with the ghost adventure crew, with pretty much everyone from every major show and with a lot of groups that people don't know and never have heard of. So, yeah, I've been out there quite a bit. I'm also the guy that anytime there is, like, let's say, a zombie run or a zombie obstacle course or a zombie boot camp, I'll go jump into it and write about it for a story. In fact, like, for CNN, I know we did a couple zombie stories, like, you know, interactive zombie stories where I ran out there and did this, like, huge obstacle course and survived. I was a survivor. So, yeah, I will certainly get out there and get my hands dirty.
For this show thus far, then, you're sort of the ghost in the machine. You're pulling the strings.
I have not been called that yet, but I like it. I like it a lot.
Now you have. You are the, what is it, Deus Ex Machina or something like that. Hey, you know, I'm really interested in the fact that you do have this very serious and extensive journalistic background, so much so that you are a journalism professor, so you not only do it, you are well-versed enough to teach it. And I'm wondering what practical aspects do you see that brings to your approach to the show? And then just in general, I mean, I see certainly it playing itself out on your website as well. But again, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
But, you know, I try not to tell people what to believe or not believe. And I try to let people have their say. I would say that I've been a journalist for, I guess, 10 years, a little more than 10 years now. And I think that the best stories come out of people being allowed to talk, you know. And as a journalist, like when you're writing a story, you want to let them drive the action of the story and almost make it seem like you're almost not even there. You know, you're letting them tell their story. So that's something that I try to bring to the table, that I don't believe everything that everybody tells me. But, you know, if they believe it, I can ask, you know, very pointed questions and kind of reveal my own skepticism without necessarily saying, you know, you're full of it. And I also, what's important as a journalist and important as someone that operates in the paranormal is a hunger for information and a curiosity about all things. And that describes me to a T. I'm just so curious about this entire universe, you know, what is known and what is unknown. And that's why I do call myself a skeptic, because I don't know what I believe, but I think that there's a lot of stuff out there that may not be proven, certainly case by case, but we have to approach the situation with, like, an open mind and a willingness to ask questions and pursue the unknown and not believe everything, but also not disbelieve everything. So I'd say that those are all elements that I kind of try to bring to the table as a journalist and to the paranormal paparazzi newsroom.
That is astonishingly similar to our approach to America's Most Haunted, which at its core is a book. We're in the sell the book phase. We've written one whole chapter on the Mansfield Reformatory, in fact, and then fairly detailed descriptions of 9 other locations. So we're selecting for this first book 10 kind of iconic American haunted locations. And that's exactly how we're approaching it. We are listening to all the stories. We want to relate the stories because the stories are part of the story. But then we're also trying to get down to our own evidence. What can be proved or disproved about these tales, and do research and do, wherever possible, on-site research. Right, Teresa?
Absolutely. You know, a story is great, but if you can't, a story is just a story unless you can actually provide proof or unless somebody has their own experience. And to me, the experience is more important than the evidence. But we do like to make sure that people can go and find out for themselves and have their own experiences at the places that we have included and that we talk about in our book, for sure. I have a question for you, Aaron. Of all the subjects in the paranormal, of all the things you cover in Paranormal Paparazzi, of all the things that you've investigated and talked about on Paranormal Pop Culture, which subject is probably the least likely thing that you believe could be real, and which is the most likely thing? I mean, is it cryptids that, is there, like, do you believe in, like, Loch Ness Monster? Yes. Fairies? No. Ghosts? Yes. Bigfoot? No. I mean, where do you stand on in the different topics in the paranormal as far as could be true or probably not?
Well, it kind of depends on the day you ask me, the day, the hour, the minute. It's constantly evolving and changing, you know, like, one thing I find interesting is that once you get into this, it's like going down a rabbit hole where there's all sorts of craziness and wackiness. And then you kind of get to the point where you're like, I really can't discount anything because it all sounds as absurd as the next thing. And that includes, you know, quite honestly, I might be upsetting some people, but that includes religious theories and beliefs, you know, things that people hold true in a very personal way. You know, when you really break down what we're saying when we talk about religion, a lot of times that sounds absurd and wacky as well. Not saying it's not true, but a lot of it does sound a little wacky. So I kind of say, okay, everybody into the pool and let's all kind of like talk about it. But so what do I find least likely?
Hey, when you're in that pool, make sure you have a lot of chlorine.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. You know, because especially, like, I don't know how potty trained Bigfoot is, so if you bring him
in. Or those
you don't want
lake monsters, good God, they're peeing and pooing everywhere.
Left and right, yeah. And zombies themselves, like, you know, their flesh is just falling off. And that's actually one thing. I think I'm fairly new in calling zombies part of the paranormal, And I do it because I think that there are enough theories out there from people that say, hey, look, this might happen because of science or because of religion or because of that or because of this. But there's enough people out there that believe that it is a zombie apocalypse is legitimately imminent. People believe this. And because the actual source or the nature of it is unexplained, I think that it probably fits within paranormal. But I don't know. It really depends on the day as far as what I think is more or less likely. I mean, let's face it. One day it's like, okay, dead people coming back to haunt you. You know, okay, that kind of makes sense. Maybe there's energy sticking around or an imprint or whatever. And then the next day, well, it's like, well, it's a big wide universe. Why not aliens, you know? Or, hey, you know, we have not explored every corner of this Earth, so maybe there are creatures out there we just haven't found yet. Or, so I don't know, like, each day it changes as far as what I think is likely or not. I will say Joshua P. Warren, good friend of mine, who comes up with some really, like, crazy scenarios at times, and then in the last episode that just aired, he mentioned something about Bigfoot being an interdimensional being. And when he first said that, I laughed out loud. But then I'm like, well, why the hell not? You know, why couldn't it?
Why draw the line there, you know?
Right, exactly. You know, there's so much crossover, too, with all these paranormal theories. You know, like, people that are abductees or claim to be abductees or UFO believers, you know, what they claim is happening a lot of times crosses over to what people are claiming they're experiencing when they see ghosts or when they see shadow people or when, you know, they have some sort of evil entity in their bedroom, you know, or like, so there's these crossovers. So it's kind of like hard to completely separate all of it.
It is a tangled ball of yarn, I agree. And, you know, if you think about it, I was just thinking about this recently, too. You make a really good point. You know, time travel can explain all these things, potentially. You know, I mean, if people are popping in and out or different kinds of creatures have evolved over time or they're presenting themselves in a different way, you know, in order to influence this or influence that. I mean, if there is unlimited time travel, I mean, in terms of how far forward or how far back you can go, that in and of itself could explain ghosts and aliens, at least in particular, maybe not quite so much the cryptids. So I agree. And you know, we end up in a lot of these discussions with some of the people you've mentioned we've had on the show, it often comes back around to looking at that frontier between science and what is, you know, broadly called the paranormal. Is there a line there that particularly interests you? I mean, we kind of end up talking about, you know, quantum uncertainty seems to keep coming around because certainly there's nothing in the paranormal that's stranger than that.
Yeah. Well, as far as like a line, I mean, again, as sort of like a journalist, like I'm fascinated by the theories, but I'm more fascinated by the stories. I'm more fascinated by what people say they think is out there. Like, so I don't claim to be the best, you know, theorist with this stuff, even though I read up on a lot of it. But I do love the stories, and I think the stories are just so personal that it influences our culture so much, you know. I mean, me personally, like, you know, this is a bit of a tangent, but, like, the way I got into this stuff, like, way back when was I grew up in a time when a lot of fun things were happening at once. I was watching Raiders of the Lost Ark. I was watching, you know, the movies of Spielberg and Lucas and reading, you know, like, Stephen King or reading up on horror like Edgar Allan Poe and you know, of course, like the Friday the 13th movies and Nightmare on Elm Street. So I grew up in this great time of pop culture, and at the same time, I was a fiend for science fiction. I was a fiend for pseudoscience fiction, like those Time Life books, the Mysteries of the Unexplained. I absolutely, absolutely loved those books. And for me, it was just like all of this stuff kind of existed in the same world for me, you know, the fiction, the nonfiction, the stuff that existed in between. And that really kind of motivated me to pursue these legends, pursue the theories, pursue the stories, and write about all of it. And then when you look at current paranormal popular culture, like, the fact that we have movies like Paranormal Activity or Cloverfield or the Twilight franchises or like Sinister or the Dybbuk Box one. You know, like obviously we are, or Walking Dead or True Blood, like we are, you know, obviously so caught up in this unexplained world. And I think it's because we feel like there's something outside of our grasp and we're looking to fiction to sort of help us process and explain it.
I think that's an excellent point. And I was thinking just as you were talking, all those things, that crazy hodgepodge that you were just talking about that influenced you so in your younger years, and me too, maybe a little earlier generation, but very similar kind of cross-pollination of interests, I think those things are extremely well reflected on paranormal pop culture. I mean, you just sort of described that site, which is really quite wonderful, by the way.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know what, like, that's why I try to be a place for people to come and have fun and, like, you know, and yeah, read some stuff that could be thought-provoking occasionally, but for the most part, it's like, you know, if you just love the stories and you just love the movies and the comic books and all of that and you don't go any further than that, yeah, come to the website and you're going to see a lot of that stuff that you love reflected, you know. But if you are a diehard believer, you know, come to the website and you're going to be able to find that too. I try to be sort of a crossroads for, you know, the believers, the non-believers, people that just want to have fun with it versus the people that want to explain it further. And what's interesting is I do a lot of these events now, comic cons, horror cons, a lot of stuff. And, you know, I find that those people are all kind of hanging out together, you know, like the sci-fi nerds, the paranormal nerds, the horror nerds, the comic book nerds, like they're all hanging out.
The nerd nerds.
Yeah. It's like they're all there together, you know?
Aaron, when, as a journalist, as a professor, did you find that you got a lot of flack from your contemporaries when you first started in on this subject? I mean, I know things have changed over probably the last 7 or 8 years especially, but when I was younger, I was ridiculed and punished for talking about anything paranormal. It was considered a cult. And I think there's been a huge, huge change in the culture and acceptance because of reality programming. And, I mean, I started with like you said, the Time Life books and In Search Of and things like that. But I was reading books way above my level when I was a child and being punished for having these books on my person at Catholic school. But as a professor, as a teacher, did you get flack from your fellow teachers and people in your field because you were into some the paranormal or anything that could come across as nonsense?
Well, I mean, you know, like you said, like people give you weird looks. I remember when I was a kid I went to Catholic school when I was younger, and I remember going to the library and asking about this guy named Alexander Holzer, you know, like trying to book on that he wrote, you know, or looking up something about the Warrens, or like, I remember going to the library and being like, yeah, what can you tell me about ghosts? And they're like, well, we've got this spooky ghost stories. And I'm like, no, I mean like actual ghosts, you know, like what, like, do we have any books on that? And that did actually warrant a phone call to my parents, but from the librarian. But for the most part, I have not caught so much flack about it. I'm sure some people are still finding out about it. But I have a perfect out. I have like the best out possible is that, look, you cannot ignore that this stuff is popular. You cannot ignore the fact that a movie like, you know, Paranormal Activity opens and makes buku bucks. Is it, you know, some of the most profitable movies ever, or that American Horror Story is a bona fide success based off of ghosts, and that that Walking Dead had, I think, among the biggest like finales or biggest ratings last year, or you know, like you cannot ignore the money and popularity that these things are creating, you know. So when I talk about that, I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, you can mock it, but you cannot ignore the fact that Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters and these shows have a pretty stable following on their respective channels. In addition to that, like, Yeah, I mean, there were some people, and I still get some people occasionally that's like, you know, so how's that whole ghost thing working out for you? And like, it's working out great. Like, this is a prime time. So yeah, no, I'm exceptionally happy with it.
Yeah, I don't see any slowing down of this paranormal bubble. I don't think it's going to burst. I've been hearing for years it's going to burst, the bubble's going to burst. And to me that's like saying, well, you know what? There's just enough cop shows out there, so they're not going to do any more cop shows, or there's no more cooking shows are going to happen because that's done. And I don't think it's going to ever slow down. I mean, I think it might reach a peak, but I don't think it's ever going to slow down. And what I like about your new show is it is a little bit of a different twist, and I think that that's what's needed. There's more than one way to ghost hunt. There's more than one way to approach the subjects of the paranormal. And I think we need to show all different sides of that. So I hope the Paranormal Paparazzi does really well. I hope it's a success. I got to tell you, I'm really disappointed at the time slot they've got you in. Is that going to change? Are they going to move that up, or is that where it's going to be now for the rest of the season?
That's where it's going to be for the season. It's new episodes at 7, and I think there will be repeats at 7:30. But, I mean, traditionally, that's not actually a bad, you know, time slot to be insofar as we are an entertainment news show. And when you look at other entertainment news shows, they typically fall within that 7 o'clock hour, you know, Extra or Entertainment Tonight or some of those other shows. You know, that's typically where you're going to find those shows. So, like, you know, would an 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock time slot, you know, be great? Yeah, maybe, but this very much fits that traditional time slot. And, you know, I think that allows us to be very fast-paced and, you know, within a half-hour show, like, put a lot of content out there and have conversations about these various stories. I mean, I personally would always love to extend the conversation. I would always love to have more time to do this because there's so much more to do. So we're kind of giving you a taste of it, but that's also sort of what these, you know, the other entertainment news shows do. So I think it fits well within that kind of format.
That was
an excellent answer. Yeah,
yeah,
I hadn't thought of that.
Perfect sense. Excellent answer. Because I was thinking, you know, this is kind of like a cross between a fast-paced fact or fake and TMZ. And I guess it kind of is. And, you know, you're right. That is like right when those shows start. So, excellent. I thought maybe that it was, you know, I don't know. I was just like, wow, there's a repeat of Ghost Adventures on at 8, but the new show's on at 7. Maybe it's just because it's hard for me to get settled in by 7 o'clock to watch a show on Friday night with kids and stuff. But you know,
try to get Mary
DVRs
Hart on there. She's my cousin.
DVRs are great.
Mary Hart on there?
Yeah, you got to get Mary Hart on there.
Mary Hart.
Is she actually your cousin?
She is actually my cousin.
Really? I love Mary Hart. Like, I don't mean this to be like one giant flashback episode of my life, but when I was like, I mean, but all this stuff really does contribute to it, doesn't it? But like, I remember watching Mary Hart and you know, watching the show Entertainment Tonight, and if I remember correctly, I think it was Mary Hart that they said her legs were insured for like $1 million each.
Oh,
or something.
True. It was
but,
true.
I personally had a bit of a crush on Lisa Gibbons as well when I was younger, so those shows, it's weird because you would watch like a show like that, and then you would watch like reruns of In Search Of or Unsolved Mysteries, and it was like, I love entertainment stuff, and then I love this weird wacky stuff. So I guess entertainment media created a weird hybrid in me.
Lisa Gibbons actually did a story on the Haunted Housewives for her show America Now. And it actually last year, but then they replayed it. But we didn't know we were on until we got messages on Facebook that people saw us on the Lisa Gibbons show. So I thought that was
nice to know.
Interesting how all the threads come together, is it not?
It totally is. It's
like 6 degrees of Aaron Sagers here we're playing.
Hey.
Why don't we talk about the site a little bit? Because to me, that seems kind of like the foundation, perhaps, for the show, because it's all kind of played out there. How did you get the idea for the site, and then put it together? And how's it going?
Well, the site's going great. I mean, the only challenge with the site is there's always more to write about, and you know, so and only a certain amount of time during the day. So I will say that I'll put this out there to your listeners that if anybody is sort of inclined to be a writer, we are always looking for contributors. The site, I launched the site in 2009. The origins of it kind of go back further. I remember when Ghost Hunters first came on in 2004, you know, followed by Paranormal State and Ghost Adventures. And, you know, but in those early days, I kind of, it was right along the same time that MySpace and then Facebook were really becoming, you know, part of our culture. And I just kind of predicted that these shows were going to be big. And that social media, this you know, kind of growing social media, would allow people to go beyond their neighborhood borders to take part in their love of the paranormal and everything. And so I said these things were going to be big, and sure enough, they were. And I was able to write about it periodically through my day job as a regular mainstream reporter. And then in 2009, I guess. You know, I had done some ride-alongs at this point with various paranormal investigative groups. I had joined the Ghost Hunters for a investigation or two. And, yeah, in 2009, I'm like, you know what? I want to create something of my own that really is able to explore this. Instead of, like, doing it every so often when my bosses allow me to write about it, I want to have my own little space in the world where I can talk about this. And I kind of remember the point. I was, I think I was going to Fort Mifflin in Philadelphia, and I was just like, you know what? This paranormal pop culture is really something that I could entirely focus on. And then I'm like, wait, paranormal pop culture? I think that is a name. I think I can use that. So,
Epiphany, light bulb.
So, yeah, I mean, like, and that's sort of when I launched it, and it continues to go, you know, a few years later. And, I love doing it, and I absolutely love the fact that I've met so many great people as a result of it and had so many great people that wanted to be a part of it, and that it's also very much led to me speaking at all of these locations that I love, like, you know, going to the Stanley Hotel or Eastern State Penitentiary and giving lectures there or talking there, or going to San Diego Comic-Con or New York Comic-Con or Dragon Con. The website is really what's led to me doing all of this, and it is it's not even work. It's like constantly just a joy for me.
Well, that is very encouraging. We love to hear things like that. Yeah, I mean, as we were saying even before we were on the air, there's lots of parallels to your career path and some of the things that we're interested in and things that we aspire to. Hey, as a former site owner, I owned and published and developed First Blog Critics. And then we sold that to Technorati, and I was the publisher for Technorati for a couple of years. What's been your biggest story so far? What has got the most attention and traffic on the site?
Biggest story? I know, like, doing interviews with, like, Dan Aykroyd or George Romero has definitely led to a lot of traffic. I know last year I posted a interview with Sam Witwer that was conducted at Dragon Con, and it was a video interview where he revealed that he actually was in The Walking Dead before Greg Nicotero or before Frank Darabont was fired. He was a cameo zombie, and was going to have like a longer kind of story played out throughout The Walking Dead show, but that was canceled after Frank Darabont was fired. So that ended up getting a fair amount of traffic. Other big stories. You know, it seems like I noticed that things seem to reflect what's popular at the moment. So, you know, a Twilight story seems to, you know, really hit big, you know, in the months leading up to a new Twilight movie. Or, you know, zombies are always big these days. But Amongst my favorite is probably talking to like George Romero, just because he's a, you know, an icon, a living legend, and then talking to guys like Max Brooks, who I have gone on to have a you know, the benefit of like being on a panel with, you know. So going from that element of interviewer to then fellow panelist is awesome. Or working with the guys at like the Zombie Research Society. Those kinds of things make me personally happy. And we are actually, I should say, ParanormalPopCulture.com is also a content partner with CNN.com's Geek Out section. So that was definitely a big, you know, honor for CNN to say, you know what, we like your site. We want to kind of bring you into the fold over here.
Excellent. Yes, that is absolutely an honor. They're very picky, and that reflects both a combination of popularity and stability and reliability. So absolutely, I know how difficult that is. Hey, are you up for taking a call? We haven't done that in a while. All right, let's check 559, area code 559. Are you there?
I am here.
You have a question for Aaron.
A long time listener, first time caller, Mr. Sugar.
Are you Hi,
there?
How are you?
Hi, my name is Koo.
I
like your show.
This sounds a lot like Scott Gruenwald. I'm going to...
I'm trying my best, bro. Right.
I call out for you. I mean, like, your Pineapple Paparazzi show very much. People come to me, they say, cool, it's a fast, I don't understand everything going on, but I think it's great. Now, my question answer for you to give me half is, Pepperoni Paparazzi man, are you going to be naked on the show ever?
I personally like to. I think it's probably good for me to keep my clothes on for the show. However, I will say our young gentleman Brandon Wellington, who is very popular with the ladies and those that enjoy looking at men, he does. We get to see like crazy abs, and perhaps some other investigators will reveal some skin as well, but I personally, I think it's best for all parties if I keep my clothes on. But you know what? If I ever want to like really kind of destroy the show, I'm just gonna strip down and that will
Nude
be
up.
A paranormal sight to behold right there.
You're the ghost in the machine, man.
What about a calendar? I saw Scotty did a picture for a calendar. Maybe you could be Mr.
He's
February
old.
Or something.
He's
I know
old.
That.
he's too old. We don't want him. You're too old. We want young. We want you. Me at the Marshawn class here. We said, no, you know, they say, cool. The Aaron Sega pepperoni, paparazzi, pineapple man, we want him.
There's a lot of alliteration going on there.
I should probably eat less pepperoni if I'm going to be the naked pepperoni paranormal paparazzi pineapple man.
Pineapple is very good for your voice,
you.
By the way.
Pineapple
is great for your voice. It's awesome. Well, Mr. Sagers, I will be tuning into your show on Friday night, and I'm looking forward to seeing you and your antics.
I have to say, like, on that note, we it's probably obvious on Twitter, and hopefully it's obvious on camera, but we have a really great crew, a great cast and a great crew for this show. So our newsroom full of reporters, we legitimately enjoy each other, which is nice, especially when you're kind of crowded together and you're filming for, you know, these extended periods. We legitimately enjoy each other's company, but we're not all necessarily on the same page all at the same time, which is very cool. Like, in the premiere episodes, you would see that, like, Scott, you know, didn't necessarily buy into the idea of a sea serpent, you know, or a river serpent. You know, I'll give, like, sort of this look, like, really, Brandon, I don't buy it. I think that, this lie detector test could be faked or whatever. So we all come from different approaches and widely different backgrounds, and yet we all legitimately respect and like each other. And that continued when the camera stopped. Like, we would go out and you know, try to decompress, you know, and grab a beer or whatever, and yet we still found ourselves talking about the paranormal and the weirdness and, you know, like, exchanging theories and everything. And so there's true passion for this.
You know, that brings up an excellent point. We should probably, we as respecters of those grunts in the field, let's name everyone who's on the show.
Well, we've got, starting out, Scott Gruenwald, who you just heard, and he is a, I would say, a veteran paranormal investigator. The man has a lot of experience, but on the show, he is very much like our wild man reporter, and I say that with all love because he goes out there and he does some crazy stuff, and so much crazy stuff that, unfortunately, there's stuff that ends up on the cutting room floor. But so there's Scott. We also have Rachel Fine, who is a an accomplished TV host and reporter in her own right. She's interviewed a lot of celebrities and interesting people through her Fine Time show on Howard TV, as in Howard Stern TV. So she's connected with the Howard Stern crew. And she doesn't necessarily have a lot of, like, paranormal investigative experience going into this, which is great because she knows how to ask questions, but we like the fact that she's very fresh in the paranormal world. We've got Julie Alexandria, who is a sports reporter and has a lot of experience, you know, digging up news in that regard, but is also, she's had, you know, maybe some experiences, but is also fairly new to the paranormal world. Brandon Wellington, sort of our cub reporter, new to TV, new to reporting, new to the paranormal, and yet so much energy. He's like a, you know, the Energizer Bunny. Like, this guy is constantly going and has so much verve and excitement and passion for what he does. And then my buddy J.P. Dub, Joshua P. Warren, an accomplished author and paranormalist who, even though he is a believer, comes to the table with a lot of great theories and a lot of, like, questions, like deep questions, that's very helpful. And then we have Sonia out on the West Coast. She's our West Coast reporter who covers, like, some of the, you know, red carpet premieres and things like that. And that doesn't even get into people like Mike Maddox, who is our showrunner and a guy that's worked on the Jimmy Kimmel Show and was an exec over at Comedy Central and knows how to just make a successful TV show. And, you know, KP and Jenna, like, there's so many people that help make these the show come together, all these producers that don't necessarily get any camera time but are just kick-ass people that really helped put this thing together. And obviously, I have to say, like, without Zach, you know, Zach Bagans, you know, has a great reputation with paranormal fans and also someone that really put his weight and support behind this thing and the folks at the Travel Channel who put us on air. Like, there are so many people involved in making, you know, this thing of ours, and it's pretty impressive and I hope pretty unstoppable.
It's a juggernaut, my friend.
I like calling it a juggernaut. I like that. I think I think juggernaut is a good term for it.
It's like the steamroller in A Fish Called Wanda. Remember Kevin Kline stuck there?
Oh, yeah.
And, that's how I picture it from now on.
I think I like it. Well, there's also the steamroller in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. You know, but that was a bad. I guess that was a bad steamroller. So we want to be a good steamroller.
Right. Exactly. Well, that is. There's a lot going on there, and so why don't you tell us? There've been two episodes. What should we be looking for? What's something really startling? Is there something that perhaps has changed your mind? Forthcoming.
There is.
Or it's just super
well,
cool.
We've got a lot of celebrity interviews coming up, and there is a on the upcoming episode on Thursday night at 7 p.m. We've got we go to the Amityville Horror House, which is a case that I've heard some interesting things about, but I've also been very, I found myself questioning the story quite a bit. And our reporter, Rachel Fine, really kind of pursues some new evidence and then gets a really compelling interview with a person that was directly connected to the Amityville story. We also head back down to New Orleans and dig up some new haunted stories down there, which I don't know that I necessarily believe, but I love the story. And then Scott Grunewald actually has one coming up where we take a trip out to the West Coast. We have a couple West Coast ones coming up that he gets an image we show an image on TV of something that I cannot explain. And I don't know if it's just matrixing, sort of seeing something that's not there, assembling like a random pattern into something familiar or what, but it took me aback a little bit when I saw it. After the fact, I don't know what I think now, but it definitely kind of startled me a little bit when I saw it. So I would say that each episode coming up really has something kind of juicy and meaty within it.
What sort of experiences have you had since doing this show? Have you had any personal paranormal experiences that have really made you go, whoa? I mean, besides maybe seeing a picture that you personally experienced, because I'm all about the experience more so than the evidence, because we all know that evidence can be faked, photoshopped, whatever. There's so many different ways to do things these days that it's almost impossible. But, or maybe even not during the show, not since Paranormal Paparazzi, but in the past, what is your most profound paranormal experience?
I would say that I've had some crazy experiences that I cannot explain at places like Eastern State Penitentiary, which happens to be one of my favorite locations, Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia. First off, it's just an amazing structure. It's so rich with history. But I've seen things there that I can't wrap my head around, and I'm not going so far as to say that it was a ghost or whatever, but it was something that I just could not explain. And I guess, a lot of people would refer to it as a shadow person, but it was a little bit more intense than that. I don't know. I don't know what that was. So that's one that's kind of stuck with me. But I'm not willing to count it as ghostly or whatever, because I don't know what it was. I would say that was an important experience because it was sort of at the beginning of this professional journey for me. I mean, I've always been interested in the paranormal, but that was sort of towards the beginning of the paranormal pop culture phase where, I had this awesome, experience at a great location that's really like a great paranormal pop culture location. It's the setting for a lot of movies. They do a great haunted house there. It's been on a lot of TV shows. So it was just sort of this validation that, like, hey, look, this is something that you should continue to do. I would say that was a personally, profound and meaningful experience for me. But I am not the guy who, I've not been abducted by aliens. I have not seen Bigfoot. I have not bodied apparition. I have been chased by zombies, but they were actors dressed up as zombies. I have not encountered a river serpent. I'm in it for the story and the pursuit, but these things, for the most part, have not happened to me.
Do you think any human being has ever been abducted by an alien?
Do I think any human being has ever been abducted by an alien? I think that there is a very strong likelihood that there is intelligent life out there. And I think if they were interested in humans, they might pop in and why not maybe pick up a human or two, to check out.
Do a quick anal probe.
Maybe, yeah, just a quick in and out. But I also think that there's a lot of how about this? I think that there's a lot of people in the paranormal world that some desperately want to believe and many desperately want to be believed. And sometimes, you know, people crave a category of specialness, you know, that they might be special, that might, they might have had something happen that sets them apart from others. And I think sometimes when you crave that so much, you can kind of construct that reality. So I think that there are certainly people that say that they're abductees that perhaps just maybe imagined it or perceived a situation incorrectly. There are other stories that I'm just like, I don't know. You know, I don't know what to think about that. So an alien's never abducted me, and I've never been able to converse with an alien about it. So I don't say it's not possible, but I personally don't have the proof of it.
I'm about in that ballpark. I'm not even sure I necessarily think that. I think there's almost certainly life. They're just the numbers are too big. There's life in the universe. I mean, it looks like it's highly possible that there was life as close as Mars. And now, of course, they're finding all these exoplanets that are in the supposed Goldilocks zone where they could support life. And that's all relatively close to us in our celestial neighborhood. So I certainly think the odds are that there's life out there. I'm not sure I'm convinced that it's intelligent. Maybe that's my own need for exceptionalism, just like you were saying about individuals who perhaps without even necessarily doing it on purpose construct these experiences. Maybe I need to construct it for the human race, a sense of exceptionalism. But it's just so radical from our normal everyday experience. Although, you know, there are some stories, there are the occasional story where there really does seem to be a set of circumstances and even perhaps evidence that at least does not discount the possibility of that. I, like you, I'm kind of a skeptic overall. It's kind of case by case. I need to see what are the details and the particulars of a given case. But on the other hand, I absolutely believe there are things that cannot be explained within our current scientific parameters. And I guess that's what makes it all so very interesting.
Yeah, I will say that doing all of this, and I sometimes get hammered for calling myself a skeptic, but I certainly am, like, because I don't have all the evidence, and I like pursuing the evidence, and I like questioning it, but leaving the possibility open for a lot of things. So when I say skeptic, I don't mean disbeliever or someone that not a cynic, you know. I will say that if aliens or flying saucers, like, you know, arrived over New York City where I live tomorrow, and like they were there, like if they were in the sky, I would probably not be that shocked. And in fact, I would probably not be too shocked, you know, if I saw a Bigfoot walking in the woods or if a full-bodied apparition did come into my house. That doesn't mean I won't poop myself. It just means that I would not be so shocked about it. Like, I think that my brain would not melt down. I might get scared, but my brain would be like, yeah, you know, I kind of expected that, or I kind of, like, figured that was going to happen. Like, I think doing this job has opened up, you know, a lot of possibility for, yeah, you know what, this might happen at any minute, and if it does, at least my brain's not going to, like, crumple in on itself and sort of check out, you know? So at least there is that small benefit that, you know, I think mentally be able to comprehend it.
Well, you have a framework to plug it into. Go ahead, Trent.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen too many things that I never thought would be possible with my own eyes and experience things. So I'm at the point in my life or my career, maybe you could call it, that I just believe, you know, anything can happen. But I think you're right. I think that one of the worst things is the curse of being ordinary, and people have such a need to believe and want to believe that they can even fool themselves. But that doesn't discount the fact that things could happen. I mean, I've seen it myself. I mean, I've experienced things that can't be explained, and, like, I've never been abducted by UFOs, but people that I know and trust say that they believe, and they say that they have proof. And if I wasn't there, it's very hard to accept it. But, you know, nothing would surprise me these days. I tell you, it's – and I think that's the world we live in, that, you know, so many possibilities. There could be so many things happen, but I want to believe in things, but it doesn't mean I'm going to believe everything I see.
Right.
But
well,
Aaron,
go on.
No, that
really speaks to sort of where we are right now. You know, the cultural moment that we exist in is that, you know, we've seen times in the past throughout. I talk a lot about paranormal pop culture. I give these lectures about what was popular within paranormal pop culture at different times and what that said about our culture at the time. So we've gone through phases where ghosts are really on the top of the conversation, or flying saucers and aliens were really at the top of the conversation, and this and that. Right now we're in this interesting spot where they're all part of the conversation. Zombies, ghosts, UFOs, cryptids, apocalyptic theories. It's all there right now, and it's all very big and popular right now and part of the conversation. And I think that really speaks to the fact that we are wondering what's happening in our world. We feel like we don't really completely have control over it, and that something is sort of about to happen. I think there is that sense, and that's why all of these things are big right now, which is a pretty unique moment, I think, to be in. But so that's sort of my take.
Is it
with a couple
America?
Minutes? Oh,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Is it just, do you think this is just a phenomenon in America, or do you think this is worldwide, the acceptance of all these things and being able to talk about them openly?
Worldwide. And I won't necessarily say acceptance, but fascination with. I think worldwide, you know, certainly each culture has its own sort of identity and approach to it. But I would say that the interest and fascination is, by and large, worldwide.
Hmm. Before we run out of time, zombies keep coming up. What do, and you just said that each fascination with specific entities or frames of mind reflects on the culture. What does the current fascination with zombies reflect?
Zombies are sort of like the template, the everything apocalypse. You know, if you're it's like there's a general anxiety about the environment, the economy, the government collapsing. Medicine and science getting out of control, facing some sort of God's wrath. Like, zombies reflect all of that. Zombies are quite literally our neighbors turning on one of us, or our family turning on one another. They are an invading force. They are sort of like a force of nature, this sort of mindless thing that's not driven by desire, but just by instinct, you know, to feed and to spread. I think zombies are everything apocalypse. They are a template for all things that concern us. And also, they are sort of like a fairly reasonable thing to tackle if you can get your craft together. I don't know how to solve the economy or the environmental collapse, but I will say I know I can shoot a zombie in the head and that serve the threat. And that, I think, is somewhat cathartic to know there is a threat that you can control. So that's just real quickly the zombie take.
You know, you can also frisbee vinyl record albums.
Well, yes, I'm a big fan of Shaun of the Dead, and I do have a regulation-sized cricket bat, so I think that is a good approach.
Excellent. Well, what a fascinating, fast-paced, as always, discussion. Brought up so many really interesting things that we are interested in beyond simply just, you know, an analysis of the paranormal. We're super interested in the media. We're interested in the way you're bringing all these things together on the website. And, gosh, it's really fun to talk to someone who there are so many parallels with as far as the way our minds work. It's really been amazing. Let's make sure everyone is aware of all your various outlets. There is, of course, Paranormal Paparazzi on the Travel Channel. Now, you said Thursday at some point. Was that just a slip? It is Friday, right?
Yeah, it's Friday. Sorry. Yeah, I'm going to get the network executives mad at you. Friday.
Okay, it's Friday, 7 o'clock, Travel Channel. And then, of course, we have the wondrous, I really do, the more I get into the site, the more I love it, ParanormalPopCulture.com. And then you're on the Geek Squad, right, at CNN?
I'm a contributor to CNN.com's Geek Out.
Geek Out, not the squad. That would be the people who come and put in your computer.
I like those guys too, though.
All right, fantastic. Thank you so much, Aaron Sagers. Really enjoyed it, and good luck with the show. Hope it's a huge, huge, huge success, as well as the site. And we hope to run into you in person as we get more involved with all these various activities. That would be a wonderful thing. All right. Thanks once again to all our listeners. It's America's Most Haunted. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at AM Haunted. Check us out Facebook, same, AM Haunted. And obviously right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here on a weekly basis. Hey, and we can even announce next week's show. We're usually not this well organized. We have Ben Hansen next week, right?
Ben Hansen from Factor Fake will be joining us at regular showtime, 10 o'clock Eastern.
All right. Thanks, Teresa. Thank you, Aaron. And Scott, if you're still there, thank you. And thanks to all listeners. Everyone have a great week.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.